93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It's been a busy week for Pompey at Fortress Fratton.
Second chance to deliver, loose in the box and into the penalty area and the back of the net from Socrates. Arsenal have scored.
The Blues ended a run of three matches at home in the space of 6 days with an FA Cup fifth round clash against Arsenal last night.
Early cross into the box, loose in the area and forced into the back of the net. And Eddie Nketiah has doubled Arsenal's lead.
The Gunners had too much firepower in the end for Kenny Jackett's side, who bow out of the competition after a respectable cup run, which saw Pompey become the last team to represent clubs below the Championship. And that's where the Blues are aiming for now. With cup distractions no longer an excuse, we look ahead to an exciting League One run-in. Between now and seven, we'd love to hear the thoughts of you back home, the fans who keep this show ticking. Could last night's FA Cup exit be a blessing in disguise, with Pompey now fully focused on league matters? What did you make of Kenny's decision to rotate the squad? And how would you rate James Bolton's performance at centre-back? Is he now an option in that position for Saturday's game at Peterborough? Get in touch all the usual ways over the course of the next hour or so. All the details can be found on our website, expressfm.com. It's been a while, but we are back for another instalment of the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very warm welcome to you all to this one-off Tuesday edition of the Football Hour here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey, Express FM. This season, the show is sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. Download the app today to locate your nearest stop, view updated timetables and find the latest prices on fares across the city. It has been 8 long days since we were last sat here talking all things Pompey in the studio at Express Towers, but what can you do when games get moved around as awkwardly as they have recently? Not a lot, I'm afraid. However, we are delighted to be back bringing you 2 hours of passionate Pompey debate twice a week between now and the end of the season, whenever that may be. The Blues have endured a rather hectic schedule of late. 3 times Pompey have hosted football under the Fratton floodlights over the last week, kicking off with a 3-1 league win over MK Dons on Tuesday night. That victory was followed by a doubleheader of league and cup action, and Friday night saw the first of those matches played at PO4. Kenny Jackett's informed Portsmouth welcomed Rochdale to the South Coast with the carrot of going third in League One, hanging tantalisingly above.
Portsmouth are eyeing their highest position of the season. That's what'll happen if they beat Rochdale tonight. They will go up to third in the table. Here we go, Portsmouth from left to right in this first 45 minutes. Usual home strip towards the Milton end in the first half. Whistle goes and we're underway. Brown chips it into the area, but it's not a good delivery. Headed straight away by Rochdale. Norrington Davis is injured. That's the end of his day. A change is going to be made. Chance for Curtis to cross on the left, deep towards the far post. Burgess is forward. Burgess saves and then putting the net. And Brian Williams has finished it off for Portsmouth from a yard out. He could have missed. And after a half in which Portsmouth have huffed and puffed, creating little, they're going to go in to the break with the lead. It's Portsmouth 1, Rochdale 0. And a long ball forward is causing Portsmouth problems. Henderson's gathered it. And the blue shirts trying to get back quickly as Henderson shoots for Rochdale. He's hit the bar. What an effort from Henderson. He's so unlucky. Now the cross comes in to Curtis at the far post. Matheson half clears. Seddon on the edge of the penalty area to hit it. What a goal! Steve Seddon. His first goal for Portsmouth. In front of the Fratton end. A wonderful drill. It's Portsmouth 2, Rochdale 0. Left-footed delivery, whipped into a dangerous area. Burgess! Lovely header from Christian Burgess. Fourth of the season. He was unmarked. Brilliantly picked out. Superbly finished. Portsmouth 3, Rochdale 0. Sanchez is going to clear it. Long over halfway. 10 home wins in a row for Portsmouth. They move up to third in the League One table. Certainly not at their best this evening against Rochdale, but comfortably in the end, they've got the job done and they're up to their highest League One place of the season. Another win for Portsmouth. It's finished this evening at Fratton Park. Portsmouth 3, Rochdale 0. Portsmouth and Arsenal have shared some thrilling matches over the years, but the chapter Portsmouth so desperately want to write is getting one over the North London side. We are underway. Portsmouth on the attack down the left. Seddon's ball in the box is blocked to Arsenal. Pick up possession. That's a nice ball to Nketiah, but a strange ball back to him, and he gives it to Ellis Harrison. He's got no support, Harrison. Have to go alone. Two to beat. Harrison thinks about the shot. Past a couple. Now he will shoot. Deflected and wide for a Pompey corner. 0-0. This is Williams outside the penalty area. Thought about the shot. Instead goes to Harness. Seddon on the overlap. Harness uses that as a dummy. Shoots. Deflects. And it'll be blocked half away. You can't blame Harness having a shot. High foot. And Portsmouth have a free kick, which they take quickly. Seddon down by the left corner flag. Seddon to deliver to the penalty spot. Evans wide. Chance for Evans. And it's missed the target. 0-0. And nobody's marked. Nelson, the taker. Second chance to deliver. Loose in the box. And into the penalty area. And the back of the net from Sokratis. Arsenal have scored. It's the second delivery from the right-hand side. Pompey held out till first half stoppage time. It's a fine finish from the Greek defender. It's Portsmouth 0, Arsenal 1. Nelson trying to take on Seddon and go round the outside of him. And Nelson showing his pace. Early cross into the box. Loose in the area and forced into the back of the net. And Eddie Nketiah has doubled Arsenal's lead. He'll celebrate in front of the Fratton end. That won't be appreciated. But Arsenal are moving away from Portsmouth in this FA Cup tie. It's Portsmouth 0, Arsenal 2. Towards the far post, over ahead of everyone, and behind for a goal kick, and that'll just about be that. Warm applause and chants of Up the Football League we go from the Pompey fans. As the final whistle goes, they've lost 2-0 to Arsenal. They're out of the FA Cup, but a performance they can take a lot of respect from this evening. It's finished this evening. Portsmouth 0, Arsenal 2.
The highlights there of Pompey's previous two games. The Blues recording a 10th consecutive home league victory on Friday night, whilst also maintaining their unbeaten record in the league at Fratton Park and progressing into third place ahead of the weekend's action. Followed by the highlights of last night's 2-0 defeat at home to Arsenal in the FA Cup. Ivan joins me in the studio for this evening's show. Ivan Prothero, it's been a busy week for the Blues. It's been a good one, though, and we've got through it quite all right, haven't we?
Yeah, it is. When you're playing the FA Cup against a big team, could always be worse as well. So, yeah, no, I think the 3-0 against Rochdale as well. Good start to the week, and last night was a good performance to go with it. Mm.
And also joining us, Rhys Harding. Rhys, good evening. Despite defeat last night, you can't really have any complaints, can you? Two league wins and a respectable loss to a team who regularly compete in European competitions.
Exactly. We put in a good shift last night, and as you say, it's the cup competition. A lot of people's focus will be on the league this season, and we got those victories. And with the short space of time with those three games, I think we put in a good job, and we put in a valiant effort last night. Mm.
Don't forget, we'd love to hear the thoughts of you back home too. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or include at expressfm within your tweets. Let's go out to last night's game then, gents, because it is of course the topic of tonight's conversation. And you know, we previously mentioned, Ivan, a respectable performance by Pompey, who weren't expected to win the game. I think we all turned up to Fratton Park last night expecting Arsenal to come out, leave the South Coast with a victory into the quarterfinals. I think we were all just hoping that it wouldn't be a whitewash.
Yeah, like you said, there's almost no pressure going into it. We weren't expected to necessarily win, and I thought first half, the intensity we came out with, I mean, the pressing that we put on, we really did ask quite a few questions of the Arsenal defence. Going on to second half, I thought, you know, that intensity died down more than anything. I don't think we got worse. I think we were still good on the ball, but yeah, no, it was a good performance, and I don't think you could tell we were two leagues apart as well, which was encouraging.
And the atmosphere certainly helped again, didn't it, Rhys? You know, you go back to the South Coast Derby back in September and the Carabao Cup, of course, not the result we wanted in that game, but really a replica kind of performance. Pompey came out in the first half all guns blazing. They showed a Premier League team what they're capable of, and the fans certainly helped it for the team to do that.
Of course. I mean, the fans of Portsmouth will always back the football club, I mean, and back the players on the pitch, no matter how hard the opposition. And it just, when you get into that stadium, and I mean, it's just unreal sometimes, because, you know, as we saw in back in autumn when we were 4-0 down and we were still singing and chanting, and it's just that sort of atmosphere that even if you lose, you know, like Ivan said, you go into it thinking, you know, you're going to lose and everything because just of the better opposition.
Yeah.
But the sort of support behind the team, when you leave the stadium, you don't feel deflated. You're quite proud to have supported the team.
Yeah. And it was a proud performance and a proud night to be a Pompey fan, wasn't it, Ivan? You know, hit the nail on the head there. All we were really hoping for was a decent performance for Lads to show up, put their hearts on the line, wear, you know, the club's badge on their sleeves, and each and every one of them out there last night did exactly that, and you really can't ask for much more.
Yeah, I think it was. I think, you know, we, as fans, we won everyone over, well, apart from maybe Piers Morgan, but other than that, we won a lot of people over. And yeah, no, it was a good, encouraging game. I thought we played well, especially first half. We had a few sort of half chances, but we looked good on the ball, and I think defensively we looked solid. It was a shame how we conceded the goal, which I'm sure we get onto. But yeah, no, I have no complaints from me.
Yeah, speaking of Piers Morgan, you mentioned there, Ivan, something that has come on social media since, you know, the game's ended. A lot of reaction from, well, admittedly, Premier League fans, Reece. James Bolton, and we'll get on to the team selection and why he was actually playing at centre-back in a few moments' time, but the challenge on Lucas Torreira, which forced him to go off with an injury. Of course, we all hope that he is okay. He left Fratton Park in a stretcher and I think a leg brace as well. But was it a fair challenge? Was it a red card?
I thought it was a good challenge. I mean, it's one of those challenges where he's gone for it and he's won the ball, but he was always going to... He was never not going to take out the man as well. Unfortunately, that then injured Torreira for them. But, yeah, it was one of those ones where it... You know, if you play it back in slow motion, you know, you can see he wins the ball and everything. But it was just... I think it was a fair challenge. I think Mike Dean got the decision right. And I think Pompey fans were sympathetic as well. You know, they applauded him off and everything. But I don't think it was anything to... No. I don't think it was anything wrong with it.
Rather harsh on Pompey fans, reading, you know, the tabloids this morning, Ivan. A lot of media outlets actually slating the Blues fans for the kind of choice words they were singing at Lucas Torreira at the time. Now, I think let's get the record straight. You know, it's a bit of banter, and at the time it was being sung, we didn't know the full volume of the injury. No. At the time, we saw James Bolton win the ball, go out for a throw-in, and at the time, we saw a Premier League footballer rolling around on the ground, thinking, oh, he's exaggerating it. But as soon as that stretcher came out, and we all knew the extent of that injury, it all turned to clapping and wishing him the best. So I think a little bit of clickbait this morning, which probably has tainted Pompey fans in quite an unfair vein.
Yeah, 100%. Just going briefly back to the tackle, it was a proper sort of welcome to the Football League crunching, but absolutely fair. It's sort of tackle you'd seen in the 90s or something. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think you do naturally, especially when a big Premier League club, you know, comes down and you do see a man rolling around, especially when it was a fair tackle.
Yeah.
I think your natural reaction is to sort of, you know, cheer and, you know, take the mick a bit. But yeah, as soon as we knew that there was an actual risk of injury, everybody got up and you know, showed their sportsmanship like we did, and you should do.
What do you make of the decision then, Reece, for Kelly Jackett to rest a few of the key players in last night's game? Now, we mentioned how, you know, the match was won, we were all expecting to, you know, come away empty-handed from, and we've got some really important league games coming up, notably Peterborough on Saturday, Fleetwood at home next Tuesday night as well. So really, effectively, a good chance for Kelly Jackett to rest the likes of Tom Naylor, Ronan Curtis, John Marcus as well, ahead of these really crunch matches.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we've all seen the shift that they put in the league, and as you know, as we say, the league is the one we want to get back to the Championship. And coming into a game like this for Arsenal, you want to play a strong team, but if you sort of go in not knowing you're going to lose, but knowing it's going to be a tough test, I think why exert all of your top players' energy into that game when you can save them for a game like Peterborough, which may, in some people's eyes, have more importance because of how it may help us for the rest of the season.
Yeah. fair to say, Ivan, that, you know, last night's match, you know, we'll pick apart the actual footballing aspect of it now. Pompey probably did lack a little bit in midfield, and that probably was down, you know, due to the absence of Tom Naylor within the squad. But you've got to hand it to, you know, the likes of Ben Close, Cameron McGeehan as well, Gareth Evans, who captained the side against a Premier League opposition, who actually played really well considering the calibre of Arsenal.
Yeah, as I said, you couldn't tell the difference was Premier League to League One.
No.
At best, I thought we looked like a solid Championship side. I thought everybody who came in looked good. I think you're right in the fact that if Naylor did play, we'd probably have a bit more physicality. Maybe, I think, certainly in the second half when our sort of pressure died down, I think we would have possibly got more service to the forwards. But yeah, everybody who came in, McGeehan looked really good, apart from a couple questionable tackles early on in the first half. But yeah, no, everyone played up to a decent standard, I thought.
Yeah. Christian Burgess was one of the defenders named on the team sheet for last night's match, Reece, a player who on Friday night picked up a yellow card, a rather soft one of that as well, I think. But he does miss the next two league games, away to Peterborough on Saturday, Fleetwood at home next Tuesday, as we mentioned before. So last night really was a chance for him to, you know, well, play a game of which he's not suspended for, but get that bit of match fitness, really, because we're not really risking him for injury now, are we?
Exactly. It's the last opportunity he's going to get to play for the next couple of weeks. So, you know, he could go out there and sort of enjoy it, I guess, because he personally hasn't got anything to play for in these next couple of weeks. But yeah, he's going to be a big loss, I think, just because he's, you know, throughout the season, he's really developed as a defender and as a goal scorer as well. But yeah, last night, it was a good opportunity for him to just, you know, sort of play once more against Arsenal of all teams with his links with. Yeah, but it's one for him to enjoy, I think.
Yeah. Now, let's get on to James Bolton then, Ivan, because he was named in the starting 11. He was named at centre-back, which confused, I think, everyone in Fratton Park last night, and indeed everyone watching back home on the telly. But actually, give him full credit, because he, I think, had a blinder in an unnatural position.
Yeah, he really did. The physicality he brought to that, I'm not just referring to the crunching tackle, but yeah, he looked really solid, and he did look like he was in that natural centre-back position. So I think going forward to this week, I kind of expect him to play now after that. Mm.
OK, don't forget you can get involved on the social media channels back home between now and 7pm. You have just 40 minutes to do so. Are you happy that the Blues can now focus on matters in League One following last night's FA Cup exit? What do you make of Keddie's decision to rotate the squad ahead of this weekend's big game away to Peterborough? And how would you rate James Bolton's performance at centre-back, an unnatural position for him? Text for Word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. After the break, we'll be hearing from the manager Keddie Jackett, who caught up with Andy Moon on the touchline following last night's game. So stay tuned and don't go anywhere to hear that interview and more Pompey discussion.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the show, which of course is brought to you tonight by Stagecoach Across the South. Plan your next journey now by visiting stagecoach.co.uk or by downloading the app from the Apple App or Google Play Store. We're going to hear now from the gaffer Keddie Jackett, who spoke following last night's FA Cup exit.
We needed those moments up and around their box in the first half. You know, we're looking at, you know, maybe Marcus Harness having our best opportunities, and he's a really good player. And but fair play to Arsenal, they blocked, and you know, when the crosses come in and the corners and the wide free kicks, David Luiz was the main header and found that first touch which we couldn't get, and also Emi Martinez, you know, come and took a couple of very, very good ones where, you know, we put in those set pieces in with good pace but couldn't make them count. But we needed those moments anyway in the first half. Disappointed obviously then to go, you know, to go in 1-0 down, because we need to be going in 0-0 with 45 minutes gone and then attacking the second half. And we never gave up, and we gave it everything till the end.
What was the thinking behind the team selection tonight?
Yeah, I just do feel that, you know, with 8 games in January, 8 games in February and 7 in March, you know, the side's going to change. And at the moment, you know, we have quite a few players fit and available, so, you know, we have to use them. It's okay putting out what you perceive to be your best side, but if it has no energy, especially tonight, it's going to be difficult.
Was there some disappointed players left out, the likes of Naylor and Curtis?
Yeah, obviously, you know, players want to play, but they can also see, you know, the big picture. And there is a big picture. We were, you know, disappointed with our end to last season. We run out of steam a little bit and want to make sure that doesn't happen this season, because obviously it's a high volume of games. And as I say, when you're going after a Christmas period and then 8 games a month is a tough schedule, and common sense tells you it won't be the same players playing.
Just finally, how can you turn a night like tonight into a positive to try and drive your momentum towards that top two?
Yeah, we needed a little bit more out of those moments. And also, I did feel to get in at half time 0-0, and you know that would have been quite a big one for us to build up some tempo, and it deflated us definitely at the start of the second half. But similarly, we're proud of our cup run. You know, we've had a really good run and got through, and you know we're pleased with what we've done in this competition. Tonight was Arsenal's night ultimately, and we wish them all the best in the competition. But anyway, for us now, we have to look forward, be proud of what we've done in the FA Cup. But the two competitions we're in, we want to finish strong.
The boss, Kenny Jackett, speaking to our colleague Andy Moon after last night's game at Fratton Park. Let's speak about now the quality of Arsenal's youngsters, Reece. You know, you've got Saka, Willock, Martinelli and Nketiah as well, who's on the score sheet for the Gunners last night. And despite, you know, looking at their team sheet and seeing a few names you wouldn't maybe regularly see, you know, within their, you know, first team in the Premier League, they've got a lot of quality and a lot of strength and depth to see off the Blues, and actually those kind of players that are bursting through the ranks really put on a really decent performance last night.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you look at what Martinelli and look at his goal contributions and how many he's scored this season. I mean, he's just been just so much better than I would have expected him to be. And all the other youngsters, you look at, you can just sometimes see the quality, even though we, you know, sat back a little bit more defensive at times, and we didn't want to concede, but some of those balls that were going over, and you know, just they are full of quality. And I mean, you look at Arsenal, for them in a couple of years time, if they really develop those players more, I mean, they could be future stars definitely for the club.
But yeah,
they were great.
Last night I was walking home from the game, Ivan, and to be honest with you, despite the defeat, it was actually one of those rare occasions where you walk away from a loss and think, yeah, I'm happy with that. Because you do look at the bigger picture, as Kenny mentioned in his interview there, when he was asked about resting some of the key players. You look at the bigger picture and you think, well, we've got a bigger game on Saturday against Peterborough. We've gone so far in the FA Cup and the EFL Trophy, but we've seen off the likes of Harrogate, Altrincham, Fleetwood and Barnsley too. Really convincing wins in the FA Cup. We've had a decent run. We've drawn one of the big teams at home at Fratton Park. And we've lost out respectably. So, yeah, looking at the bigger picture, you think, OK, well, this can only actually, maybe, act as a benefit for Pompey in their bid for promotion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but I agree. It's a strange feeling walking home and smiling after a 2-0 defeat. But yeah, there was a lot of pride to be taken. You know, we did hold our own. I think it was a shame to concede the goal how we did, and that I feel like that momentum that we were, if we got into half time and having been 0-0, I think there was a lot to build on. I think that did kind of deflate us, and I think maybe 5 yards of pace we were a little bit off at the second half. I just thought the intensity might have had died a little bit, and that was probably due to that. But the performance was, you know, well worth when you look at our league position.
Yeah. Graham Price says, I think we have done ourselves proud. The difference in quality is very apparent. Arsenal players just a little bit quicker and a bit more quality and a bit fitter too. That said, our lads worked their socks off, created a few chances and showed great spirit. Now, who else is looking forward to Ipswich on a Saturday? And it's a good point as well, Reece, because it means that the game away to Ipswich in a few weeks' time will still be on a Saturday, and it won't be another one of those matches moved to a Tuesday night, because we've got a lot of those coming up, and it's important not to really build more fixture congestion.
Of course. I mean, we got a trip to Wembley to look forward to. We got, you know, the last stages of the league to look forward to as well. So as much as last night, it was, you know, a little bit sad that we went out, but at the same time, you know, that could be a blessing in disguise, that maybe our fixture list, if it had piled up some more, would do us damage in the league. But, you know, we're out of it now, and I'm just looking forward to hopefully wrapping up the league in style.
Yeah. Ollie Cook says, fair play to Kenny for focusing on the league. Made 6 changes against a Premier League side, and we held our own. And yeah, we did, Ivan. We held our own perfectly well. You know, we mentioned a few, before the previous ad break about how we almost got into half time still level. a little bit gutting that we conceded that goal so deep in injury time, but nonetheless, Arsenal, although they did show their quality at times, it wasn't a massively convincing win from them.
No, it wasn't. Like you just said, it was a frustrating way to concede. Not only you look at the time of the game and think, oh, we were that close to getting into the dressing room, but I can see, in a way, I can see why we conceded, because you don't want to take a man out of the box to man mark somebody, especially with their quality. You think, well, okay, if they're going to play it out from the side, fine. We obviously, no one came out, and then nobody stopped that cross coming in, and sadly we conceded it. Fantastic header from Socrates as well. But I felt like we played probably to our standard, really. Mm. We were very good at times.
On Facebook, Wayne Gasson says, jacket out. Awful second half. Why would you defend a 2-0 loss? Go out and lose 5-0. It's a cup tie, after all. No passion whatsoever. Awful. And I think we could all safely say, if he's not looking for a bite there, Wayne is probably the only Pompey fan who probably holds that opinion. If I'm wrong, get in touch and let us know. Are you disappointed with the manner of defeat last night? Do you think Kenny should have gone out to try and win it? I don't know. Let us know. 81400 is the number to text. Find us on Twitter at ExpressFM, or you can email pompey@expressfm.com. Dave Byrne in Southsea has done just that. He said, good, strong and clean challenge from James Bolton. A footballing incident. Very little, if any, reaction against Bolton from any of the Arsenal players. The manager has all the information at his disposal to help with his team selection. Data such as energy levels plus many other things have to be taken into account in our current situation. It is, as we keep being told, a squad game now, says Dave on the emails. We go back to, we rewind, Ivan, to just a couple of weeks ago. Exeter at home, EFL Trophy semi-final, 90 minutes away from Wembley. Now, regardless of your thoughts on the competition, Kenny Jackett named a very strong side for that game. And in doing so, we got to the final in probably one of the most stressful games I've ever seen.
I'm still recovering from that.
Still can't believe it happened. He named a strong lineup just one game away from Wembley. And there was a lot of meltdown on social media that he'd done that. And the reason being that Pompey fans wanted him to focus on the league. You know, that was our bread and butter, apparently. Why are we going out to try and win the EFL trophy? Now, last night, Kenny Jackett made 6 changes, and it was a bit of a strange team selection, you could say. And a lot of the social media reaction was, why are we doing this? Why are we not going to try and win the game?
The man can't win. I don't get me wrong, I've been critical of him at times, especially certainly at the start of the season, but yeah, you're absolutely right. The guy can't win. If he put out a full strength team and we still lost, people would have been going, well, we've got an important game on the weekend. We're third now in the league. We need to concentrate on cementing, you know, automatic places. Also, if he played a team nobody's heard of, or you know, a load of youngsters, people would have gone, well, you're devaluing the cup. You need to show respect. This is a, you know, we could have got to a quarter final. So, yeah, I think it was a good middle ground.
Let's talk about one of the Arsenal players now, David Luiz. And if you follow Premier League football, if you don't, if you've heard of David Luiz, you'll know that he's a fantastic centre-back, or he has recently been a fantastic centre-back for the likes of Chelsea, PSG, playing regularly in the Champions League. Fair to say, Reece, he's moved to Arsenal and his career's gone, I wouldn't say downhill, but it's hit a bit of a rough patch at the Emirates Stadium, and he's probably not the defender he once was. However, last night, okay, albeit against the League One side, there was no getting past him. He put in a man of the match performance, and I think you've got to applaud that from an opposing side.
Exactly. I mean, everything from his defending to his passing. I mean, the amount of those like ping diagonal balls to when they're keeping it in possession, and he was so relaxed on the ball as well as just his top tier defending. I mean, you can see why he is one of those just Premier League greats. Mm. But yeah, he was the rock at the back for them, I think. And, you know, he is owed to him. He was so hard for our team to break down. But yeah, he was just amazing. I mean, you go to Arsenal, you know, move away from Chelsea or whatever, it hasn't taken much away from him. Yeah. But yeah, he was just superb.
We even saw from David Luiz last night, I think he's been watching a former Pompey player, those marauding runs going forward. I think Matt Clark is probably David Luiz's icon.
Quite possibly.
I think he's been watching him, and he's been learning from him.
I'd like to think so. But
it's not the other way around. It's definitely that way around.
Oh, no way.
No way.
But I do think, just to build on what Rhys said there, I think if you look at a young guy, was it Mari who played next to him last night?
Pablo Mari.
Making his debut, yeah. And you think, it is, whatever you say, I know we're 2 leagues below, but it's a difficult place to go and make your debut. And I felt like Luis's performance helped him as well, having such a quality firm position in the whole game as well. Like, we didn't look like we were going to get past him, and I think that helps the young guy quite a lot. Because not only have you got to go to a difficult place away in a cup tie, but you've got somebody next to you who is experienced and level-headed, and I think that stands quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for Arsenal, Reece, it's one of those banana skin games. You know, I've mentioned there Pablo Mari making his debut after joining the club back in January, and playing a League One side in a cup competition away from home in front of such an incredible atmosphere. For them, it's a banana skin game. They were wearing their bruised banana kit, if you want to link that together. But yeah, I'm totally right. You know, I think from their point of view, a professional performance. Okay, the second half was probably one of the most boring halves of football I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? It was just us sort of sat there, not wanting to concede, then passing it round. Do we go forward? Do we try and push for it? You know?
I was helping try to commentate the game with the Pompey audio description service at Fratton Park last night. And that second half, like you say, for the last 40 minutes of the game, it was just David Luiz passes to Pablo Mari, back to David Luiz, back to Mari. It really was that. And, you know, do you read into that a little bit too much, Ivan, and say, well, Pompey weren't pressing enough to try and force, you know, maybe a consolation goal? Or could you perhaps see that as not accepting defeat, but kind of acknowledging the fact that Arsenal, if we were to go forward too fast paced, they're going to counter attack us, they're going to score a third, they're going to score a fourth, they're going to score a fifth?
Yeah.
We're looking forward to Saturday, and that's all you can really say.
Yeah, I don't. The thing is, you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, really, don't you? If you overcommit, they had a lot of young, quick, skillful players that would have gone past us. It easily could have been counter-attacked, and, you know, you didn't want a cricket score, especially for our confidence as well, going into some crucial games in the league. So, yeah, do you know what? I thought, I mean, clearly first half we came out with a different intensity, and I think conceding fairly early on in the second half sort of killed that as well. But, you know, I thought actually the substitutions Kenny made, I mean, bringing Marcus and Ronan Curtis coming, I'm sorry, I thought they made a huge impact, and we looked a lot better from there.
Speaking of the financial side and what Pompey have gained from cup runs this season, Rhys, of course, an impressive Carabao Cup run as well, through to the final of the EFL Trophy, still going strong in that, of course, the final on the 5th of April, just over a month away, and of course the 5th round of the FA Cup. Pompey were the last side to represent, you know, the lower leagues of English football. No team in League 1, 2 or below bettered Pompey's result in the FA Cup. And in doing so, they gained £250,000 just for reaching round 5 and being the final team to represent any club below the Championship. And in total, Pompey have gained, we're hearing, over £1 million in, you know, TV rights and just progression through two of these cup stages. Now, you can talk about fatigue, you can talk about distractions and everything like that, but it's a massive financial gain for the club, which will undoubtedly help, you know, things behind the scenes, the stadium, hopefully the transfer budget in the summer if we go up. And you've got to look at that and think, well, it's not just about winning or losing games. There's a lot more to it.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, if you put this into perspective for other lower league clubs, you know, let's say a League Two team was to get a couple of good draws at the start and they were to get maybe to the position we were in, they would massively benefit from that money. And, you know, for these lower leagues, being rewarded money like that for making this much progression, I mean, even we are a pretty big League One club, but we, you know, it still is going to help massively, and it is a massive incentive, like you say, not just to win, but just to do it for that as well, and that is why other teams would want to progress as well.
Yeah, there was a fair few people actually laughing at Pompey's result last night, Ivan. We were discussing before we came on air, a certain few, I didn't even realise they had so many, but a certain few fans from down the road, as soon as Pompey tweeted at the final whistle that we'd lost the game, In Pompey's mentions on Twitter, laughing and joking about, you know, how we're apparently in their shadow. Now, we made it through to round 5 as a League One team, having started in round 1, They exited the competition in round four, and they only joined it in round three. We're a League One team fighting for promotion. They're a boring mid-table Premier League team flirting with relegation every season. It's probably the attention that they crave, but you've got to look at that and just laugh. And just be thankful, but...
It's wow. Ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say to it, really.
Oh, I know what to say. You could just go 9-0 and just throw that at them.
Yeah, I don't understand. You know what? You're probably right. It's that, we get a bit of attention out of it. They know how to hurt us as we probably know how to hurt them. I really wouldn't read much into it.
I think from our point of view, we just get to sit there, read those tweets and just laugh.
Exactly.
Just laugh. And you think as well, if we do win the EFL trophy on the 5th of April next month, that means Pompey have at least doubled the tally of every trophy that they have won. And they've only won, two if you include the EFL trophy. They've won one FA Cup, we've won two. One EFL trophy, we could potentially be winning two. And of course, all the league titles as well.
They've got nothing better to be doing with their evenings. I don't understand it, to be honest.
I think we're going to try and get our head around that in just a few minutes' time. We're going to head to a quick break now, the final one of this evening's show, and after which we'll be continuing the Pompey debate and discussion, as well as hearing more from you back home too. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can do just that by either texting the word express, followed by your name and message to 81400, emailing pompey@expressfm.com, or tweeting using @expressfm. Be sure to join us again in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of the Tuesday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and to the Football Hour with myself, Jake Smith, Ivan Prothero and Rhys Harding. This season, the show is being driven to you by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses. With plenty to see and do around Portsmouth, why not travel to one on one of their many buses? They have great deals for families and for students too. Go to stagecoach.co.uk to find out more information. An email here from Dave Bird again in Cowell Plain. Disappointed in Arsenal's approach after going 2-0 up. Call it professional if you like, but many of the Pompey players have given so much in the first 45 just to stay with their opponents, but the energy levels to chase and close down with the intensity of the first 30 minutes just wasn't there. And if I had been an Arsenal fan, or if Pompey were in Arsenal's position, I would have wanted to see my team go for a third, fourth and fifth goal. Instead, Arsenal proceeded to put on a boring display of keep ball to kill the game off in a defensive manner, rather than be more positive, which they were more than capable to do. Maybe it just reinforces why I don't miss the Premier League, said Dave in Cowell Plain. Fair enough. I think you're trying to raise a good point, but I think on a grand... Read that whole email, grand scheme of things, Dave. It sounds like you wanted to lose 5 or 6-0. No, I think, you know, Dave there mentions a good point, Rhys, about, you know, the Premier League and how, you know, do we miss it? Do we miss being in the Premier League, playing teams like Arsenal, United, Man City, you know, Chelsea and Tottenham, Liverpool, who, okay, you know, some of them might be going through some difficult patches right now, but you're going to come down to Fratton Park, beat us routinely, put on a boring game and leave.
Exactly. I thought after the Olympiacos game for Arsenal, they would want to come to Fratton Park, and I'm not going to lie, I thought they were going to try and demolish us. I thought they were going to try and prove a point to their fans just after that result in midweek, but no, they didn't. And like you say, they scored the two and then just sort of saw the game out from what, the 52nd minute or whatever it was, and you just think that is the Premier League. I love it, but at the same time, there's so much just, I don't know. It's like, it's not like the Championship or League One where every team's like proper going for it right to the final whistle, or that's what it feels like. But yeah, you can really see why they're a Premier League team from the way they go about it.
And VAR isn't helping either.
No. No.
Steve Burgard on Facebook says, well done to Pompey for holding off their big name opponents for almost an entire half. Great performance, but let's face it, we were never going to win this cup, so glad it's now behind us. Let's get back to winning ways at Posh on Saturday and get that second automatic place. Coventry definitely going up into first, I reckon. And he also comments on James Bolton's performance. He says he did well as a buffer for Jack Watmore, who I hope will start on Saturday, but for the long term, I don't see him as a centre-back. Thank you, Steve Burgard on Facebook, for getting in touch. We have Mike T in Southsea as well on the text. He says, "Hi Jake, this has to be the warmest Tuesday for you and the Pompey Live team I've had for quite a while now." Yeah, definitely, 100%. Enjoy the studio this evening, play at Pompey. After yesterday's FA Cup game, the Blues will now be able to focus fully on their energy on the league games to come. Thank you, Mike and Salcy, for getting in touch on there. We have a few more on Twitter as well. Certainly a lot coming in from last night's game. Adam Dark says, "It's been great to see Jacket learning from last year's mistakes, thinking outside the box more and using for squad. Playing Bolton at centre-back was smart. There was no need for aerial presence of Raggett. Going with two number 10s pressing high up the pitch, utilising the players he has." Yeah. And, you know, previously, you know, we mentioned the EFL trophy, Ivan, and how, you know, Kenny Jacket has rotated really up until the semi-final stage. You know, you've seen the likes of, you know, Bradley Lefrish, Josh Flint, Owen Teggart, Rico Hackett-Fairchild recently signed, feature in these competitions, play well, you know, prove to the manager what they do and perhaps what they don't have and what they can bring to the team. And we're still winning games in these competitions. So I think that just reinforces the statement that Pompey's strength and depth this season compared to maybe last season is highly improved.
Yeah, it really does. Certainly the players we bought in this January light years ahead of what we managed to do last year. For some reason, it just didn't really come off. But I feel like having Get McGeehan in as well, he's done massive. And obviously, Seddon's been huge for us. So, yeah, the only thing I find a little bit odd at the moment is the use of Gareth Evans. It kind of seems a little bit like he doesn't play for a while and then suddenly will just be in the first team. And nobody really, I mean, it was Shrewsbury Town when he started, and it was the first time in about 2 months. And it is, but again, he played very well. So, yeah, our strength and depth is huge.
Yeah. We also have another tweet here from Shav on Twitter. It talks about Alex Bass. I think this is after the Rochdale game on Friday. This is a stat mentioned on Twitter. I believe it was D3D4 Football on Twitter, a real statistical page on social media if you do like your kind of stats. Miss says Alex Bass has the highest save percentage in League One, the best goal kicking accuracy in the division, the most clean sheets per game, the least goals conceded per game, and the joint best performance against expected goals in League One for a keeper that's played a minimum of 10 matches. So his progression, Reece, really has come on leaps and bounds, and for him to earn a starting position in an FA Cup clash in the fifth round at home to Arsenal for a player who's come through our academy is applaudable.
Definitely. Oh, 100%. I mean, when he first sort of got into the first team, I was a bit sceptical personally because I thought, you know, where's this come from? You know, he's halfway through the season and everything. But no, he's filled the first team boots absolutely brilliantly. He's been solid. He's pulled off some great stops. You know, he's done so much better than I would have definitely expected. But yeah, and it's nice to know that actually we have that, him as a number one, well, him as the first team goalie, and we have Matt G. And it's just nice to know that we have those two that they both work. You know, we're not relying on one keeper or whatever. And it's good for them to fight for that position and for him to come into the role like that.
Looking forward now, Ivan, then, massive game on Saturday away to Peterborough United, a team who score goals for fun, really. And looking at their league positioning now, they are seventh in the league. They have just dropped outside the playoffs, but they're only a point behind Oxford in sixth. They've scored 66 goals in the league this season, the highest of any team in the division, and I believe also League Two as well. So certainly going to pose a threat to a Pompey defence who, unfortunately, missing Christian Burgess. And you could highlight as well, it's the likes of Ivan Toney scoring those goals, Mayo Issa as well, Siriki Dembele. So Pompey are going to need to be right on top of their game away from home, where they don't often perform very well.
Yeah, we really are. But I mean, first of all, they've got to get past Bass, which is not the easiest thing to do. Second of all, I don't know where he's at in his fitness now, but I'd quite like to see Jack Watmore maybe start or get some game time. I mean, we've seen if he didn't have sort of an injury lane career as he's had so far, I think he'd probably be at least championship quality by now. So it'd be nice to see him get a run out and hopefully prove his worth.
Looking ahead to Saturday, then, Dave has got involved again on the emails. Thank you, Dave, for getting in touch. Given our existing squad, I'd prefer James Bolton to act as a standing centre-back if needed, than utilising Tom Naylor in there, who is needed more in his midfield role. Dave and Carl playing. Rhys, what do you make of that one? Because obviously Saturday does come with that dilemma. Who plays up a back for Pompey? Sean Raggett rested in yesterday's game. You assume probably that he's going to be starting the match. But in terms of that second central defender, who do you go for? Tom Naylor, I think it's fair to say a lot of Pompey fans are probably agreeing with the opinion Dave has just shared there, that his presence in midfield would be missed, and the games he has played at centre-half this season haven't really ended too well for us.
Yeah, I mean, for the first appearance of Bolton at centre-back, I thought he did very well last night, especially with the opposition that he was playing. I think it would definitely be worth having him at centre-back, or like Ivan said, you know, that Watmore, you know, even if he comes on for a little bit, you know, just have him there, because we know he can play there now, as a, you know, not all the time, but, you know, we know that he can do 90 minutes there. But yeah, Naylor's position for me is definitely in the midfield. He's, you know, he's gone into centre back, and, you know, he wasn't bad, but you look at Bolton and how he performed, and I'd much prefer him to be there, because I think it's not about maybe Naylor filling in that centre-back role, but I think we just need Naylor more in the midfield, because he sort of glues up the, you know, the Close and the McGeehan and all that, you know, because we sort of need that more defensive midfielder there.
Following last night's game, Ash Farrell says, all we know now is we have a fresh Tom Naylor, a fresh Sean Raggett, James Bolton can play centre-back, and we also have a fresh Ronan Curtis. Pompey are making strides. Very important for Pompey, of course, to be resting a few players ahead of Saturday's game. We have one here as well from Ben, whose Twitter handle is at basically Puyol. So I think he's a big fan of Ben Close. 2-0 the score, not a peep from the Arsenal fans. Nothing but a £35 million man, Danny Ceballos, did that Ben Close couldn't do as good or better. Final score follows a boring and negative second half. Arsenal passing it around the back, running scared. Back and time to focus on the league. Play up, Pompey, says Ben on Twitter. Looking at the weekend's result now, Ivan, then. Pompey, of course, won at home to Rochdale on Friday night. 3-0 win for the Blues at Fratton Park, up to third in the table. But, of course, every team still had to play on Saturday, Sunday. Of course, that crunch game between Coventry and Sunderland at St Andrews. Potentially, the Blues could have, you know, fallen back down to sixth in the table. But a good opportunity for them to really, first of all, before we actually get on to anything else and actually how the results did pan out, it was a good chance for Pompey to, okay, this is our result, now you've got to try and beat us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's huge. There's an awful lot to be said about playing before your opponents as well, especially in a league that's so tight and so congested. I mean, if you lose a game, you could be out of it, and you could be out of the playoff spaces, and you were right up in third. So it's huge, but you're absolutely right. To put a marker down and say, like, here's a 3-0 win at home. Now it's up to you, the rest of the league, to respond here.
Now, of course, Pompey are still third in the division. The weekend's results went pretty perfect for the Blues, Rhys. Looking at the games, Ipswich losing 2-1 to Blackpool. They're just outside the playoffs now. Look at Peterborough, 1-1. They were held to a draw away to Burton. Wickham defeated 3-1 at Doncaster Rovers. Oxford, okay, they beat Southend 2-1. You expect that of them, but they're probably a little bit further down the pecking order than the results we're actually looking at. Rotherham drew 1-1 with MK Dons. And, of course, on Sunday, Coventry with a 1-0 win over Sunderland. Probably hoping for a draw in that one, Pompey, but nonetheless, a Coventry win, if any of those teams were to win that game, probably the better, because Sunderland win, we go down to fourth, and there, you know, they're another team chasing us.
Exactly, and it's so weird. I wasn't expecting Rotherham to draw to begin with. That was caught me completely off guard. The MK Dons have struck again, but yeah, like you say, the Coventry result, I mean, that was good for us, I think, because we have a chance then, because of our game in hand against Fleetwood, to sort of almost not break away a little bit, but if we win that, and obviously say it's a big if and everything, we can sort of break away into that little top three, you know, sort of thing going on there. If Sunderland had got a result out of that, though, like you say, they would have sort of surged forward and joined that group. Mm. So in a way, it was not. It's nice because perhaps in the future, I think it could favour us, that result, making sure that one other team may not be so close to catching us.
Okay, we're going to leave you now on one final tweet after last night's game. Joey Don says, did Pompey deserve to lose? No, not tonight in my eyes. Was the game Arsenal players played embarrassing? Yes. They had a good 20 minutes in the second half, but we were always in the match. Lacked a bit of quality at times, but hats off in my eyes, and we can be very happy with that. Thank you to Joey Don on Twitter for getting in touch. Okay, that just about wraps things up here on the Football Hour tonight. Thanks one and all for tuning in to the show. That may be all from us three this evening, but the content doesn't stop here on Express FM. We've got plenty more great shows coming your way this week. Kevin Stokes rewinds you back to the 1980s later on. He'll have 2 hours of great tunes that you probably haven't heard in a while when that 80s show returns at 8 o'clock, right before Scattering the Roots with Dan Ogus from 10 through till midnight. Mason Jordan has the rest of the week off, so tomorrow you'll be woken up by Robbie James on Portsmouth Breakfast, with Darren Gambling filling in on Thursday and Ian James taking control on Friday. Mason will be back at 5:30 on Saturday evening after Pompey Live with this week's edition of the Local Music Show. Make sure you're tuned in every day this week between 6am and 6pm for a chance to win tickets to see the Blues take on Salford City in the EFL Trophy Final at Wembley on April the 5th. All you have to do is tune in from 6am tomorrow to be in with a chance to win. You can also head over to Twitter at ExpressFM to enter our online giveaway. Your footballing fix continues with Henry tomorrow evening from 6. You'll have all the latest from all the action involving our local non-league sides. And the Football Hour returns to its usual time slot of 6pm on Friday evening. I'll be joined by two more Pompey fans to look ahead to this weekend's league trip to Peterborough. Once again, thanks to Ivan Rees, the stagecoach, for supporting the show, and also to everyone back home for listening in this evening. Up next is the Express 70s, so be sure to stick around for that. But until next time, have a great evening and a fantastic week.